Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is a portion of the gospel reading that you just heard, with special emphasis on verse 21, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is among you." Dear friends in Christ, Jesus' encounter with these Pharisees in our text leads us now to examine our own lives, to take a moment to pause and to reflect on our own readiness for Jesus' coming. Consider the Pharisees in our text. Again, like they did so many times before, they came to Jesus to ask him a question. "When will the kingdom of God come?" they said to him. And note what Jesus said. "The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is now among you." Isn't it something that these Pharisees, time after time, would come to Jesus to ask him a question so that they perhaps would better understand, or perhaps it was to test him? But we see in Jesus' response to them that he had a sincere concern for them, for he came to save sinners. And he knew the hearts of these Pharisees, and in deep concern for their souls, he answers them not according to what they wanted to hear, when the kingdom of God would come, but rather how the kingdom of God would come. For what really mattered was not when, but how. And what Jesus points out to them in his response is that it didn't matter on their own pious acts. It didn't matter in their attempt to strictly observe God's law. Hopefully, in that way, trying to bring God's kingdom among them. The kingdom of God was not to be an earthly kingdom that would come with all the typical signs that are visible when an earthly kingdom rises to power. It was not going to be a restoration of Israel to political power that the Pharisees had thought would happen. Rather, God himself would come to dwell among his people, and that he would establish his rule over the hearts and minds of his people through the very forgiveness of sins. And so we find in Jesus' response to these Pharisees his essential point in verse 21 when he says, "The kingdom of God is now among you." So the whole question of when is inappropriate, for the kingdom of God had already come. It was being revealed to them in the very presence of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of God had come in Jesus Christ, and it was being revealed to them by the very powerful word that he spoke and by the mighty miracles that he was performing among them. But we know from our study of the Gospels that these Pharisees rejected him. They rejected his word of grace. The kingdom of God had come in Jesus Christ, and here, standing before their very eyes, was God the Son, the Savior of the world. And yet they rejected him. In the stubbornness of their sinful hearts, they turned away from him and said, "You're not the king that we're waiting for. You're not the Messiah we're waiting for." They saw no need for the kind of kingdom that Jesus was speaking about. They saw no need for a spiritual Messiah. They saw no need for a Savior. And so quickly we might point the finger at those Pharisees and accuse them of being so terribly sinful. But truthfully, as we examine our own lives, do we not admit that we are very much like them? Sometimes we look away from our gracious Lord. Sometimes we turn away from his very powerful presence in our lives as he is present in his word and in his sacraments. And instead we turn inward to ourselves. And we too begin to trust in our own efforts. And sometimes we feel that if we would just do the right thing, that somehow we can gain acceptance before God. We can gain God's approval. Are there not times when we base our hope on our outward acts of piety? Are there not times when we act as though our whole basis for eternal life is because we have been a member of the Christian church, the visible Christian church, from day one when we were born, since we were baptized. Are there not times when we might consider that perhaps it is our position in the church that is the basis for our hope? Are there not times when we even try to manipulate God's kingdom of grace that is now among us, and we try to turn it into a kingdom of glory? And that is exactly what we're doing. When we push aside the cross of Jesus Christ and in turn then begin to look at our own efforts in our own life that we live for salvation, what we're doing is we're saying, Jesus, you've done your part. Now let me do mine. If we approach Christ's second coming with such faith, that is faith in self, we have something else coming for us. And when Jesus Christ returns on the last day, it will not be a day of salvation, but rather it will be a day of judgment where we will have to suffer God's eternal wrath and punishment because of our sins. But we know that this is not what God desires for you and for me. We know that this is not at all what God desires for all people, not even for these stubborn, unbelieving Pharisees in our text. For we know that our Lord God desires all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And so what our Lord Jesus calls you and me to do today and every day is to repent. He calls us to repentance. He calls us to repent for all our sins that we do each and every day of our lives. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is now among you. And the very comforting news that we hear from our Lord Jesus is that where there is true repentance in the heart, there also stands God's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. Jesus forgives our every fall into temptation when we look away from his gospel word of hope. He forgives our every failure to trust in him alone for our salvation. And he assures us of his forgiveness in his very words of our text, that he indeed has come to dwell among us. The kingdom of God is among us. That's the gospel. That's the gospel, that very special miracle that we celebrate at Christmas, that God in Jesus Christ has come to dwell among us, to live, to suffer, and to die, and yet to rise again for our salvation. Coming into this world so that he would secure for us a sure hope and a sure confidence that we do have forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. And he assures us that he is with us forever, that he will never leave us or forsake us. And having ascended to the heavenly realms, he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he rules over all things. And he rules in power and in glory. And he does so for the sake of us. All that he does is for us. Therefore, we can be assured that he will continue to graciously rule our hearts as he comes to us powerfully through his word and through those blessed sacraments. When we are gathered around him, there is Christ among us. When we remember our baptism and confess our sins to God each and every day, and then by faith take hold of all that God accomplished for us, there is Christ among us, and indeed he dwells in us. In Christ, the kingdom of God has come. Gathered together as the people of God, Christ has come to be with us, to be among us, to dwell in us. He is ever present with us, and he builds us up now that we would always trust in him, that we would always have that secure hope and confidence that in him we have everlasting life. So now, as we look forward to that day when we will be with him for all eternity in heaven, as we look forward to that day when Christ will return with his angels in his glory to take us home to be with him, we wait confidently, prepared through faith. We wait in faith with our eyes drawn to the cross of Jesus Christ, because there our redemption has been won. We wait in faith, recognizing that life in this world, life in God's kingdom of grace, is certainly life under the cross. It's not easy being a Christian. Time after time, we will endure pain and suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. And we know with confidence that our Lord Jesus is right there with us, lifting us up in his arms and enabling us to endure those difficulties in this life. And so we wait in faith, not having to know the day of his coming. We wait in faith, not having to go after all those false prophets today who are saying, there he is or here he is. We wait in faith, knowing that what we have now is just a foretaste of the perfect joy and the perfect peace that we will have for all eternity in his presence in heaven. May we in this Advent season recognize that indeed the kingdom of God has come among us in Jesus Christ, and that he is with us here and now. And may we look forward to his coming for the one who is, for the one who was, and for the one who is to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.